All right, I'll get this right this time. Good afternoon again. Right? Yeah. As you probably noticed, the title of my sermon is a bit different from the one that's printed in the bulletin, and also for the scripture verses. I'm going to focus mostly on the verses in chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, instead of that early on, that big passage text. Okay. So Aroma for Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 to 16. Let us pray. Lord, as the a hymn of illumination that we sing early on, that we ask that you help to make our hearts be good soil. And Father, do just that with the help of your Holy Spirit, that you will cultivate our hearts so that the soil will be ready to receive your message, the seed of the gospel, and so that it will germinate, it will grow, and that it will become a big tree where it will provide shades for animals, and then that too will one day produce other seeds and other plants. It's that wonderful picture of spreading the gospel, of making disciples. And we pray, Lord, that this message this afternoon will go some way to do that. That, Lord, you help us as we accept your word, as we listen, that you too help us, Lord, to put into practice, that you move our wills, and that we will apply what we've learned today. We can't do this on our own, so we ask, Lord, that you help us with the power of your Spirit, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what are some of your favorite smells? What are some of your favorite smell? Someone says laksa. I can smell it actually from here. It's quite near me. Well, apart from laksa, for me, I will have to say the aroma of coffee first thing in the morning is something that wakes me up, right? Open up my eyes. The other thing that I like is also the smell of freshly cut grass. You know, when I'm mowing the lawn, after you cut the grass, it's got this, this smell about it, that fresh green fragrance about it that I really enjoy. There's also something else that I like, a particular smell. And you probably find it weird, okay? But I kind of like the smell of, those white, round mothballs? Yeah, mothballs, right. You know why? I like that smell. Like I said, some of you may find it weird. I like that smell because it reminds me, whenever I smell it, it reminds me of my grandmother. Because she used to put a lot of those mothballs in her wardrobe. So whenever I go into her room, open up the door, the smell hits me, that's quite a strong smell. So it reminds me of her. What about you? What are some of your favorite smell? Huh? You may want to close your eyes and try and imagine, what is it? Yeah. Durian, yeah. I know some people may say it's a particular perfume that they like. Or for guys, it would be a cologne, they put on their body, they like that smell. I know for some people, they like the smell of their home. It's just like, if you've been traveling away, you've been away for a while, and then you go back home, right? And then once you open the door of your home, you know, that homely smells kind of you know, hit you in the face, and you goes, "Yes, I'm home. I know I'm home because of that smell." Okay. So, but my point here is this. Okay. My point here is that we are all attracted by pleasant smells. We are also repulsed by bad smell, okay? But that's another story. We are all kind of attracted by good, pleasant smells. And like I said earlier on in the children's sermon, did you know that God also wants us to smell good? God wants us to smell good. Not just good physically, you know, like kind of a body smell, but God wants us to smell good spiritually too. Okay? He wants us to smell good spiritually. Why? So that others will want to know about the new life in Jesus Christ. Okay? So today we're going to talk about smelling good. Okay, that's the topic today. We're going to talk about smelling good in the eyes of God, or rather, smelling good in the nose of God and in the world. Okay? And here, I'd like us to bring us back again to the passage that Hui Kung has read earlier on, verses 14 and 16. Okay? And this is what Paul wrote. He says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere." Imagine it, spreads everywhere the fragrance or the aroma of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are like the smell of death, and to the other, the fragrance of life. And then Paul asks, who is equal to such a task? Are we equal to such a task? Now, if we expect, this is talking about ourselves right now, if we expect to become the fragrance of Christ, if we expect to become someone God can use to spread this pleasant aroma of our relationship with God, if we want to become people who can be instrumental in others knowing about their sin and telling them that the sins, what the sins are, and that the sins can be forgiven, and that they could, putting their trust in Jesus, go to heaven, then if we want to do all those, then we need God to do certain things in our lives. Okay? If we want to be a pleasing aroma in Christ, okay, we need to allow God to work in our lives. Okay? So today I want to show you, okay, what those things are. I want to show you how you can pray to God to work in you. And I want to show you three requests of God that we can pray to God. We ask God for three requests of God, and also one more, the fourth request, that we can make of others. Okay, so I'm going to basically share with you 4 points. The first 3 points is something that we're going to pray to God. God, can you do this in my life? And the fourth request is we're going to pray to God for others to do in our lives so that we can be that pleasant, nice-smelling aroma to God. Okay? So, let's start with those requests. The first request is this. If you're taking notes, we have to pray to God, or rather we have to ask God to give you a spiritual shower. Okay? Need to ask God to give you a spiritual shower. Right. What do I mean by that? Well, we all know what it is like if we don't go for many days without a shower, right? After many days you don't shower, you kind of can't imagine what kind of smell you will be in, right? You know, recently in our house, we have to replace our shower. Okay, we have to replace our shower stall because it's quite an old house, and the shower stall that we have, it's got a wooden door frame, and part of that wooden frame has been rotted away. Okay, so we have to get some people to come and to fix that problem. So what they did was they dismantled the whole shower stall, and they told us that that it will take about a week to fix all that. Well, it has been 2 weeks now, and they still haven't finished it. But anyway, while all this work was going on, we can't shower at home. So what we have to do is we have to go over to my in-laws' place to shower. Right? The whole family go over there and shower. And sometimes it can be a bit inconvenient, not just for us, but also for my in-laws, right? And there are days, where I was either too tired or I was either too busy. So because of that, I will skip a shower or two or three. And then after a few days, I noticed that my wife was trying to avoid me. And as I was walking in the garden, the flowers would start to wilt and die. And not only that, when I go for a run, go for a walk outside, I was walking on the pavement, the sidewalk, I noticed that even the dogs would cross the street as I was approaching them. And that was when I realized that maybe it's time for me to have a shower. So if you stink like me, okay, then you need to ask God to give you a shower. Or ask God to give you a spiritual shower. It is a prayer to God. Okay? It's a prayer to God. But it is not just something that we pray, but it is also an act on our part. That means we also need to do certain things also on our part, action on our part. It's not just about praying, okay? And this act, right, in this request, there are two parts to it. Right? I'm going to share with you. The first part is this. Getting a spiritual shower, the first thing we have to do is this. We need to surrender our lives to Christ completely. Okay? You need to surrender your life to Christ completely. Why? Well, the Word of God says that you are not your own. God has created you. And then God has got full right, full ownership to you. You are not your own. If you are a Christian, if you accept that Christ as your Savior and your Lord, then not only were you created, you were bought with a price. And that's the precious blood of Jesus on the cross. So in light of that, you need to tell God, if you are a believer, that certain stage in your journey as a discipleship, a certain stage you will have to come before God at last, and you have to pray and you have to surrender yourself completely to God. That you have to come to a point that you say, God, I am totally yours. No retreat, no looking back, no reversing. Okay? And that's what we need to do as part of our spiritual showering. And Jesus said something very similar. In Matthew chapter 16, this is what Jesus says, verses 24 and 25. He said to his disciples, Jesus, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, surrender to me completely, die to myself, loses his life for my sake, will find it. So one of the acts that we have to do, that we need to sacrifice our agenda, the plans, the purpose that we have for our lives. We need to sacrifice that on the altar of God's agenda. In other words, surrendering yourself to Christ completely means that we die to ourselves. We're going to put God first. Okay? God will have number one spot. He'll have top priority. He's a big boss. Okay? It's not easy, right? It is a constant struggle. Why? Because it is so difficult to kill the old man so that we can experience life as the new man. It is tough, but it is worth it. There's another verse that I like in the Old Testament. It says this, connected to what I was talking about. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In the 9th verse, it says, I love it, it says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. Why? In order to strengthen those whose heart are fully committed to Him. In order to strengthen and empower those who are totally surrendered to God. It's a wonderful promise that when we become sold out to God completely, what's going to happen? It's tough, right? Because we always want to be in charge, but we say, God, you're totally in charge. When we are totally sold out to God, what's going to happen is that God's promise, He says, He's going to open the door of His power to strengthen us in whatever situation that we find ourselves in. So, we need to surrender. One of the first steps, we need to surrender ourselves completely to Christ. And then comes the second act that we need to do, which is this. We need to be intentional about the Bible and prayer. It's not just Bible and prayer, but we need to be intentional. What do I mean by the word intentional? Intentional means that we don't kind of continue to live our lives in the status quo, the default mode, just kind of drifting along with no plan and no goals for our spiritual life. And one of the greatest spiritual discipline that we can do, okay, to be intentional, is to feed on the Word. Pray to God on a regular basis. That's one of the most basic thing that you can do. Right? And it just happens that today, our Christian Education Ministry, they have printed a new Bible reading plan today for us, to help us to be intentional about reading the Bible, reflect on the Word of God, and pray about it. Okay, so in your bulletin, you probably have noticed that you've got an insert. It's got this Bible reading plan. All right? That's to help you to be intentional about Bible and the prayer. I think Lydia will talk a little bit more about that later on, what's that all about. But it is more than just making that decision to be intentional about Bible and prayer. Okay, it's more than just deciding that I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to pray more. To decide is one thing, but to follow through your decision is another thing, right? To be intentional means that you are going to make a commitment. That you are going to tell God that I'm going to make time. I'm going to make effort. I'm going to make it a priority to read your word, to listen to you, and also to pray and to talk to you. Right? And all these texts work. It is not easy. Okay? And all the more that we need to be intentional about it. Because if you are not intentional about it, then you will find that you have an extremely difficult time, okay, to continue in the long term. And also, you find it very difficult to have that, to have a lasting impact on your life. Okay? And that is why to know this, to understand this, is so important. Because our actions, my actions and your actions, right, are a result, okay, of how we think, what we think, and what we believe. Okay? In other words, right thinking leads to right action. And that's why it's so important for us to renew our minds. Because out of that renewing comes that surrendering our minds, our thoughts, our attitudes to God. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, reinforces this about renewal of mind. He says this to the church in Rome, chapter 12, verse 2. He says, "Don't follow the world. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by" what? "The renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. God's will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." Okay? So we do that. Okay? We please God. We do God's will by spending time in the Bible and prayer. It also means that we are intentional about our thought process. Okay? The things that we think about. And to make our thoughts captive to Christ. And one of the great ways to do that is, I kind of learned this from our discipleship class, the Navigators Discipleship class. One of the great ways of doing this is to capture your thoughts for Christ is to do Bible verses memorization. Many times, after I've memorized certain Bible verses, and let's say, for example, if I am praying and my thoughts starts to wander, I find that those Bible verses that I've memorized actually will come to from the back of my mind to the front and speak to me, right? And that will help me to refocus again on my conversation with God, okay? So Bible memorization is one way that you can be intentional about Bible and prayer. So the first thing that you need to do, again, just recap. The first thing that you need to do to become fragrant for Christ is to ask God to give you a spiritual shower. Right? Next, the second request that you can pray to God for is this. Ask God to give you a heart for Him. Pray, God, give me a heart for you. Okay? And again, this is kind of related to the first point, the first request. Right? Let me give you an example. I find that if I'm not careful, let's say, for example, Bible reading, that times when I spend a lot of time in Bible reading, it can become a routine. Right? The Bible reading becomes a chore. Right? it's something that I just have to do. I just have to tick on the Bible reading prayer. I tick, okay, I've done this today, things to do. Okay, it becomes a chore. What's happening here is that physically I am there, my body is there, my mind is there. I'm trying to read, I'm trying to do a bit of a reflection, do a bit of Bible exegesis, but my heart is not there. I do not desire to read that Bible verse for that day. Okay, so that heart component of us is also involved. And that's why after that spiritual shower, we also need to ask God to give us a heart for God, a heart for His Word, a heart to be concerned about the things that God is concerned about, right? And one of the best way that we can pray about this that helps us in our prayer for this request is to read the book of Psalms in the Bible. Okay? Because the Psalms is one of those most wonderful part of the Bible that we have. Because it is a collection of poetry, songs, and prayer that the psalmist, King David and Solomon wrote. And there's a lot of emotion that's in it, a lot of feelings, a lot of struggling with God. Right? A lot of heartfelt cry, cry out to God, and asking God to help them or rejoicing from their hearts. And also, sometimes when the psalmist struggled, that he felt that God was so far away, God was so distant, and he will write the Psalms, okay? He write the Psalms to record down his feelings, how he felt, Okay? So the Psalms are filled with prayers, asking for a glimpse of God's glory, and also asking for the infilling of God's Spirit. Let me give you one example. 150 Psalms is just one example. Psalm 42. Yeah, Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. This is a very, very familiar psalm. A lot of time we will sing this psalm, right? And here, this is what the psalmist says. As the deer pants for streams of water. The deer is very thirsty. He was panting for streams of water. So my soul pants for you, O God. Can you see that desire in those words? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Right? So like the psalmist, we need to ask God. Ask God to give a deeper desire to know Him and to know Him and to have a closer relationship with God. Okay? Number one, spiritual shower. Number two, ask God to give you a heart for Him. And the third request is this. Ask God to give you a heart for others, for people around us, for our neighbors. Right? Again, the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, a reflection of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in the 16th verse. Paul says here in this verse, that we are not to look at anyone, not to look at anyone, strangers, people we like, people we don't like, with a worldly point of view. But rather, Paul says we should try and look at them through the eyes of Christ. Because we are representative of Christ, bringing the good news of forgiveness and salvation. And that same good news that you and I heard and we have responded to. Okay? So we are not to look at the outward appearance, right? Because if we look at the outward appearance, like look at people the way the world looks at people, sometimes we find it very, very difficult to like them, to help them, to care for them, to love them. Okay? Paul says, no, don't look at them on the outward appearance, but rather at the fact that Jesus Christ died for that person. You may not like that person, but remember, Jesus died for that person just as He died for you. And also knowing that, if you don't do anything, if you're not a fragrance of Christ to that person, if you're not spreading the knowledge of Christ to him, that same person will spend eternity suffering in hell if he doesn't know Christ. So that fragrance, okay, the fragrance that we bring represents life to that person. It represents a forgiveness of sins. It represents the potential of that personal and intimate relationship with God. In other words, we want, we should desire that other people also have got that same aroma that we enjoy. That we are not to keep it all to ourselves. So ask God. Ask God to break your heart. Yes, break your hard heart. Ask God to break that hard heart, or ask God to break that stiff neck for other people so that you will have empathy and sympathy and compassion for them. Okay? So the three requests that we can ask of God to help us to have this sweet-smelling aroma for Christ. The three things that we can ask God to give is, number one, the spiritual shower, to give us a heart for Him, and also to give us a heart for people. So we ask God to help us for those three requests. Now, we're going to look at the fourth request, which we are going to ask God to help us, and that will be done by someone else, not by God. Okay? And that fourth request is this. Instead of asking God right now, we're going to ask others to tell you how you smell. Okay? So how is different? The first three is God. God, can you do this to me? Good, shower me, you know? Give me a heart for you. Give me a heart for others. But now, we kind of have a different prayer. We're going to ask others, okay, to tell us how good is our fragrance. Okay. In other words, it is about, if you like, it's about making ourselves accountable to someone else. Right? You're asking feedback from someone else, right? You want that someone that is willing to be honest with you and yet gracious with you, you know, to point out your faults, but do it in a gentle, respectful manner. Okay? About you, about your ministry, about your relationship with your family, about your weakness in the world. Okay? So that is the fourth prayer that we are to pray. And I think out of the four, perhaps this is the most difficult one, right? If we're honest, because it takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? It takes a lot of guts, right, to do that. Courage not just for you, but also for the person that you're going to ask, right? Now, usually when we talk about accountability, oftentimes you have people says, maybe it's for other people, maybe not for me. You know, my life, I'm pretty fine. I'm not perfect, but by and large, I'm okay, right? A lot of people will say that. But the problem is that what we are not aware of is that all of us, we've got blind spots. We've got spiritual blind spots in us. Okay? We don't see ourselves as others see us. You might smell really good most of the time in most areas of your life, but chances are there will be something in your life that creates a stink in the noses of those, you know, noses of those around you. You think you smell okay, but there are people who can smell that it's not quite okay. It's not as good as you think. So we need to put on our spiritual deodorant, you know, perfume to make us smell good. Because our spiritual BO, okay, can detract from the message of Christ. Okay. So having someone to tell you to see areas that you need to surrender to Christ is a blessing. It's not easy, it's tough. It means you have to humble yourself. But if you can get someone to help you see those blind spots, to see where you're not as good smelling, the areas that you still need to surrender to Christ, they'll point it out to you. To have someone like that is actually a blessing, even though it may not be pleasant. Do you have someone like that in your lives? Someone you trust? Someone can give you an honest opinion about how you smell? You know, in my case, my wife is very good at this role. She's someone that, when it comes to me, she's not shy to share her opinion of me. I think it's good because it keeps me on, you know, keeps my feet on the ground. And kind of, you know, sometimes I get carried away, and she kind of like pull me down to size, okay. And when it comes to, let's say, smell or fragrance, one of her most favorite saying is this. She says, "If I don't tell you, who else will?" She will say that to me. So ask others. It is good. Ask others to tell you how you smell. Okay? And also, if you are going to ask someone to do this for you, I mean, you got to be serious. You got to really mean it. It's not like a game that you play, okay? Don't waste your time. Don't waste their time if you don't really want to know, to have that honest feedback, if you don't really want that benefit that comes with it. Okay? So we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to ask God to bring us to the point where we can ask someone to come alongside of us and tell us how we really smell. Okay? And also, for the other person, now, if you are the person that has been asked to help someone else, you know, how they smell, okay, Remember, your role is to help them to improve. Okay? Your job is not to kind of make fun of that person, criticize that person, get into the face of that person and rub it in, you know, kind of a... No, that's not your role. Your role is to honestly tell that person and help them to find a solution. Pray for them. Support them. Encourage them. Okay? So, So if we do that, if we do all these four requests, four prayers, and God comes alongside and help us, if we do all these four things, what are some results? Okay, what are some of the consequences, some of the results of becoming a person who has this fragrance of Christ? Okay, what are some of the results? I'm going to share with you very quickly. I'm going to share with you at least three results that you will see in your life. Number one. You will become the kind of person others like being around. Okay. And I think that's pretty logical, isn't it? I mean, if you smell nice, not just physically, if you are spiritually, you are fragrant. That means you are filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, tenderness. All these things, patience. Okay, you have all these qualities, and it's no surprise. Okay, it's no surprise that you will find that more and more people, okay, like to hang out with you. More and more people want to come up to you and ask for advice. Okay, more people come up to you and say, "Would you pray for me?" You know, and things like this. Okay, or even asking you to be their mentors. Okay. So that's one of the more obvious results that will happen. If you do all that, you'll become the kind of person that others like being around with. Now, the second is this. The second is a bit interesting. You will become the kind of person others don't like being around with. Do you find that interesting? On one hand, we're saying that some people like to hang around you because you are the fragrance of Christ. Right? But there will be also some people, because you are the fragrance of Christ, they don't want you to be around. Okay? They will find you repulsive. There is a well-known professional golfer. He was playing on a tournament with president of the USA. At that time, it was Gerald Ford. So this golfer was playing with the president, Gerald Ford. There's another golfer in that group. His name is Jack Nicklaus. And also Billy Graham, the four of them. Right. And when they finished their round of golf, one of the other professional golfer of the tour asked the other professional, the golfer, he says, and asked him, hey, what was it like? What was it like playing golf with the president and also with Billy Graham? You know, what was it like? The pro golfer said with this bit of a kind of a disgust, kind of a expression on his face, he says, "I don't need Billy Graham stuffing religion down my throat." And then after that, he just kind of walked off to the driving range. So his friend followed him, and that golfer, he took a whole bucket of golf balls and he starts whacking those golf balls to release his stress and his tension. And once he's done a bit of that, then his friend came up to me and says, was it really that bad? Was Billy really tough on you out there on the course when you guys were playing? Now the professional golfer, he sighed and he looks a bit embarrassed. He says, "No, actually, Billy didn't even mention religion at all when we were playing golf." See, astonishingly, Billy Graham has said nothing about God. He said nothing about Jesus, nothing about religion. And yet, that professional golfer just stormed away after the game, accusing Billy of trying to ram religion down his throat. Why? The second reason is the reason why. Because 2 Corinthians, part of our passage, mentions that being the smell of death to some people That means that sometimes being a fragrance of Christ means that you are a stink to some other people. That you are like the smell of death to those who are perishing. Because people recognize what you have is from God. They recognize that there is Christ in you. And they will repel it, they will reject it, they will refuse it. The very mere presence with them bothers them. It troubles them. Because when you are there, all they need to do is, you don't have to say anything, they just look at you. They look at your demeanor. They look at the way you carry yourself. They look at your body language. They can sense that joy that's in you. And when they experience that, God is convicting them of their need for forgiveness. God is convicting them that there is something missing in their lives that cannot be fulfilled by all the things of the world. God is convicting their hearts that they need God. And this is a good thing, actually. Okay? It's not a bad thing. But then be aware of this. It's very important. Be aware not just A, but be aware of B also. Because if you're living for Christ, then sooner or later, this will happen. So be ready for it, okay? Not just be ready for A results, but also be ready for B results. And the third result is this, that you will reflect the love of Christ to a world that is so desperately short nowadays, that is so desperately short on love and acceptance. I don't have to elaborate. All you need to do is just look at the newspaper today, see what's happening internationally. Just go online. The world today needs so much love, affection and peace, compassion. And that's why it is so important. So important that we be that instrument, be that vehicle, okay, that brings God's love and acceptance, to be the fragrance of Christ, in other words. Why? Why do we have to do that? Well, again, if we go back to our passage in verse 14, I want you to notice something. You may have missed it the first time around. In verse 14, and this is what Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and," keywords here, "through us." God, through us, spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Now, this is really interesting because God can do this without our help, right? But God, in His wisdom and in His mysterious way, chose us. He chose that through us, you and I, okay, believers in Christ, He chose through us so that through us He can spread that fragrance of Christ. And that is why it is so important that we be the fragrance of Christ, because through us, that's how God works, right? God chooses us to work through us to get the job done, right? In God's eye, this is the only way that in the Word of God tells us. There's no plan B. Okay, if this one doesn't work, then that's it. And that's why it's so important that we be the aroma for Christ. Okay? So those are the four requests that we can pray to God and also to pray to others about. Okay? In closing, to close this message, I just want to point out something else about being the fragrance of Christ. Don't think that the whole issue of being the fragrance of Christ is like spiritually putting on the perfume or cologne. Some people think that, okay, I want to be the present, to be the fragrance of Christ, so I just get, you know, like maybe pray, ask the Holy Spirit to sprinkle on me so I can become the fragrance of Christ. But Paul's understanding is a bit different, okay? Paul, here understands that in the case of a devoted follower of Christ, we not just put on the fragrance, but we actually become fragrance in ourselves. It is not, it becomes part of us. It's part of who we are as a person. So when we say that someone, you know, you smell like Christ, it's not something superficial. It's not an act that we put on. Okay, oh, so today I'm in church, Sunday, so I have to put on this fragrance of Christ, but Monday to Saturday, I'm a different person. No, Paul says, once you're a friend of Christ, it is in you. Your very being is the fragrance of Christ. You are just, you know, it's just like if you're just soaked with all that smell, that fragrance, and it just comes out of you. It naturally pours out of you, right? And it's everything that you do. It's the way you talk, your relationship with other people, your attitude, your intention, everything about you, right? All areas of your lives is involved in being that, you know, that propagating that aroma of Christ. Okay, so that's where I'm going to end my message, and I pray that my prayer that that this message in some ways would have prompted you to want to be, you know, maybe it takes time. It's, you know, it's a process, but at least it will get you started at the very least on that process where you want, and you want to pray to God and says, God, help me to smell more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? To embark on that journey, to make that commitment, and to keep on praying those four prayers. To be aroma, the sweet-smelling aroma of Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I'm going to close in prayer, the same prayer that I started with, which is, thank you for your word. Help us to listen. But help us not just to be listeners of your word, but also doers of your word. Lord, we pray that you give us this desire, that you give us this commitment to be that sweet smelling, that pleasant smelling, so that we can be that aroma, aromatic Christians, so that others will find us attractive for the sake of the gospel, and also for the sake of the expansion of your kingdom. Help us to be those kind of disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.